Your home for classic hits. AM 1570, 96.9, and Boone 102.7 FM. WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Are your brakes squeaking or grinding? Is it time for an alignment? Before you hit the road, hit up Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big O Tires on State Road 39 can help you get back on the road in no time. With dependable service, honest advice, and fast turnaround times, Big O Tires in Lebanon is the team you trust. Stop in and talk to owner Alan or manager Lauren, or call 765-388-4715. Visit them on Facebook at Big O Tires in Lebanon to stay up to date on exclusive offers. When your car needs care, trust the name drivers rely on, Big O Tires.
And they're off. Look at that speed, that style, that weight. What's that behind the pace car?
It's a cargo trailer from TC Trailers, and it's rushing the competition in storage value and sheer trailer goodness.
TC Trailers has over 300 trailers on the lot. Haulers, goosenecks, concessions, everything but the checkered flag.
Need a pit stop? TC's got full in-house repair shop, parts store, and financing that'll have you back on track faster than a tire change.
Zoom over to tc-trailers.com or cruise out to State Road 28 East to Frankfort. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight.
Listen to all that cash I saved shopping at my local big deal store. I know what you're thinking. Jenny, tell me more. Well, this is a secret I love sharing. Shop your local big deal store from your phone, computer, or tablet for gift certificates at discounted prices. Automotive, pets, retail, groceries, entertainment, outdoor, restaurants, services, travel, health, beauty. It's all there. Shop and soon you'll be saving too.
Just click on the big deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Moving ever closer to race day from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, this is Mark James. Some details on the field of 33, some of the numbers involving the front row starters for the 110th Indianapolis 500. It's the first 500 since 1993 to feature two former winners starting first and second. The last time that happened, Ari Leyendijk and Mario Andretti. It's the first front row since 2015 to feature cars from both Chip Ganassi Racing and Team Penske. As far as pole sitter Alex Palou, he's the eighth defending 500 champion to win the pole, but the first since 2010 when Elio Castroneves accomplished the feat. Next up, Carburation Day, which is scheduled for Friday. Our coverage begins at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. The Drivers' Meeting and 500 Festival Parade are scheduled for Saturday. And then our coverage, flag-to-flag coverage of the 110th Indianapolis 500 begins Sunday, May 24th at 11 a.m.
Oh, yeah, that's a good... That's my favorite bumper because that was Rush Limbaugh's bumper for years. The Pretenders. Yeah, My City Was Gone. I love that. Hey, Brady joining us in this morning. Well, let me get this turned down. So
I think you should leave it on.
You'd be good. Yeah, that's one of my favorite bumper intro. I really like that song. It's a good song. So, but hey, how you doing, brother?
Doing well, right? You
staying out of trouble?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Well, you better. Yes, you're not a troublemaker. You're the peacekeeper, man. Yeah. So you get him. We were talking a little off the air that just trying to keep things in line. And this is summer months, though, and this is where it just gets to me. It gets crazy because there's people that just already there's people that have kind of lost their cool, and people do things and. We were just talking off the air that we have the Amber Alert right now that's going off in Hammond County and our Hammond, Indiana. And you never know. Some of those are just so often connected to family disputes or whatever the case may be. And we're praying for all that to work out. But it could be a dad or who knows who's abducted the kids.
You know, the good part is technology.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You got the alert. I got it. My son called me, who is a proud owner of a cell phone now.
Oh, yeah. How old is your son?
Wanting to know. He's going to be turning 13.
Oh, my.
So,
okay.
But he's home alone for, you know, a little part of the morning, so yeah. He needs a way to communicate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the good news is you get the alert. We all get the alert.
Yeah.
You know, it takes over yourself. Everybody at the same time gets it.
Yes.
That's a whole lot of eyes out for the vehicle that's described. To hopefully get that located quickly. So
technology has changed a lot, and especially in the communications. But that there was a lot of behind the scenes politicking that had to go along to get that done too, because that wasn't easy. Because there's people that don't everybody's always got. You think that's a good thing, it's good intentions, and then somebody comes up with a. Well, I don't know. And they come up with an idea and then they say, well, we're going to change it. And I'm sure that happens in law enforcement.
Sure does. Yeah.
Because the laws change and get turned. And you have to be, and that's a question I have for you today, is that you guys are not attorneys, but so.
Some days.
Yeah. But so often you have to make, judgment calls because you got to know the law. And I mean, because you're enforcing it, because. Nowadays, because I see things that people post on where they're, they got their cameras out and they're going to, they're testing your knowledge of the code and everything else. How do you guys deal with that when you have those kind of people?
You have to be a student of the game. It's like, we approach it like a sports team through training and through your education.
Right.
And it's an individual officer, too. I mean, it's on them to do independent study constantly. You think you know the laws as they're written, and then they get interpreted by first through the prosecutor's office and then interpreted through
a defense.
Through a judge and interpreted through, a jury of the peers. That can be a whole nother interpretation. At the end of the day, that's where it lies. Once you think you're on top of it, of the hundreds and hundreds of pages of the code book of Indiana, every 6 months, legislative changes.
Yeah.
Change the law.
Yeah.
So you have to pivot and you have to relearn it. And then you have to learn how to enforce what is now the new standard of that law as it's written or amended from the state legislators.
Yeah.
And it completely changes. Like through my years, any theft was a felony. And then it turns to a misdemeanor. And then there's different methods in which you can or can't do certain things. So the way we did business. Changes. And
so
it changes
theft is no longer just a felony. I mean,
can be.
It can be.
Yeah,
okay.
It's tricky. It can be a misdemeanor. It can be a felony. But that's just an example of something you practice.
Yeah.
And then boom, we have a change and it's effective immediately as soon as they voted in and we have to no longer go through with what we're doing or it can be unlawful.
Right.
Yeah. And with all the cameras on us, we've had we were one of the first departments to get. Body cameras early back in the day. So we've been on camera.
Yeah.
It's nothing strange. And I think more times than not, in a very high percentage, it's showing our knowledge. It's showing we know what we're doing. It's,
right.
And there's moments. We got humans with a badge doing a job.
Yeah.
There's moments with any profession, with any job. But I would say... It's great to see, us, we get put to the challenge and we show up and know what we're doing. So
no, I would totally agree and appreciate all you guys do. I use the analogy as, I coach football and there's times where the referee will make a call, and especially when it comes to interference. That interference is one of those that drives me crazy because I'm like, the interpretation of interference compared to what I'm seeing versus what maybe the ref is saying. And I'm not saying that I'm not using the analogy to compare that necessarily to real life, but it is a little bit of same kind of emotion to go in that because to somebody's interpretation of what they have read, and then what you're saying is the book. This is what I'm going by, and in this moment, and then emotions get involved because at the same time, I mean, as a referee comes over and explains why they've just called interference on my kid, that I'm like. I just went to a meeting and they're saying that's not interference. Did you go to the same meeting? Well, then they said, well, yeah, but you also didn't realize that was for another level and not for, anyway, things get changed. But when you bring up a good point, because human emotion enters into the situation and that normally changes everything.
It does. Yeah. And you have to be strong with your emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, to get through those challenges and those moments, to be professional and to just be reasonable and professional and just deal with people, you know, hopefully as you'd want to be dealt with or your family.
Yeah. How do you guys train with that? And how do you screen for that? Because it takes a very different kind of mindset to be able to stay calm in, because I look at some of these situations that are going on a national level and people are being spit on and yelled at and screamed at and they, you know, they're just kind of, you know, kind of going through the motions and doing what they're supposed to do. And that's, you're almost ignoring it, but boy, that's hard to ignore.
It is. And, you know, we live in a de-escalation world right now. Yeah. Sometimes it's over de-escalation to where, you know, you don't want to jeopardize safety. But I think the best screener is just know your people.
Right.
You know, we make it personal.
Yeah.
We don't just hire people that we think are going to be good at X, Y, and Z. We spend time with them.
How long you been with the department now? Like 12 years?
13? This year is going to be year 14 in the fall.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
you're good.
I'm just saying that point.
Yeah.
You know people at 14 years.
Yeah, and when you're around, you know, in the profession, and that's you know what you want out of your people, truly, then you have your own screeners, and there's other methods. Obviously, we do a ton of screening. We're required to, and we do a lot with our hiring processes. Mm-hmm. But the other level is just, you know, it's gut feeling and. You have to get to know your people on a personal level to be able to connect and make sure that they can push through those moments and stay professional.
You got Officer Hessian just had a big award for the community resource.
Yeah, the District 4 or Region 4.
Yeah,
school resource here in the state of the SRO of the year. He was nominated and selected for the region, which means in the summer there's a NASRO. SRO conference, and I believe they'll select an SRO of the year.
And the SOR is the school resource officer. Officer,
yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he does lots of things that contributed to that. I mean, he's great with the kids there. Does a lot of things outside of the box that a lot of officers normally wouldn't do. But on top of that, he does a safety series, it's a funny video series of an alter ego where he's this guy named Coach Art. And but what it is, it's Alice. It's active shooter Alice model.
Yeah.
And it pushes it through the staff in a funny way.
Mm-hmm.
But all the principles are there.
Right.
Evacuation alert.
Right.
Inform on just, you know, constant reminders. It's like a monthly series almost where that's, you know, it's being pushed out because we just don't have the time to get, you know, school staff away from their classrooms and in trainings because they're so tied up with the amount of, you know, requirements that they have to do.
But that's how we communicate.
It's a creative way to get it into an email that takes 5 minutes and the principal gets hit. So, you know, repetitive principles hopefully will lead to good results.
That's awesome. And we live in a world of communication today that it's reels and TikTok and, you know, so these little videos, mm-hmm. they can be very impactful. And people are constantly watching them and sharing them and viewing them. So I appreciate the creativity. That's awesome. And then the new vest for Rex. You got the K-9 Rex. He's been
You got a new vest donated. Yeah. With that, we've had good luck with that program.
Yeah.
That vest is bullet resistant and stab resistant to help protect the dog when he's out and about and working.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, love to see him have that.
You know, going back and with Officer Hessian and with Rex, the key of being able to create a community and create relationship, that, you know, being able to communicate all these things and to say, hey, the K-9 is a dog, it's an officer, but it's a real animal too, and that we want to make sure it's protected and looked after and cared for. And I think the funny thing about good thing about, you were talking about the funny videos, you're bringing it down to real life. It's not, you're relational. Your department has been very relational in the last few years. I think that's been the key.
That is a key.
Yeah.
You have to. Yeah, like it's a grassroots. You know, you have to get on the level of the people that we serve. And, you know, stuff we do is complicated. Hmm. It's messy. It's complicated.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
But if you find a way just to relate, you know, and get it out, I think people appreciate it. I think it's easier to understand what we do, because without people understanding what we're nothing.
Right.
You know, we're nothing without the community.
Right.
But, you know, the community is us.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're the representation of the community. You're the protector of the community. And the enforcer. But I think I try to tell people all the time, look at it that our police force is there. Yeah, they're in enforcement, but I think they're there to protect and serve. Serve has always been the big key. Serve and protect over even enforcement. Not that you're not going to enforce, but protect and serve is really, I think, is what has the priorities that you guys have flipped and changed, that I think that's been more the perception.
Yeah, and the serve part of it has definitely evolved from when that slogan came out. You know, just the way of service is different. You know, it has to be modern, you know, with technology and equipment and the way what we respond to, how we handle certain situations. And, you know, I'd say a 90% of the calls that we're dispatched to, it's a serve situation. It's not an enforced situation. It's going and solving a problem that can't get solved. So the phone call's made, you know, and we have to send officers out to come up with a reasonable conclusion to move on with their day or the situation, and give good advice and move on to the next.
I always go back, and I'm not comparing, you know, this to Andy Griffith, but that's my favorite. I will never blink an eye of saying it was my all-time favorite show. But I always think about the time when Sheriff, you know, Taylor, Andy had to leave town and Barney was in charge. It was like Barney, it was all about how many arrests he could make, you know, how many, because he was the letter of the law. And I think sometimes that is part of relationships. You guys have got to be able to be, I think, very much a discerner in the moment of being able to discern the situation. And that's usually like split second a lot of times.
It's quick.
Yeah, very quick.
You don't have time to digest. You just have to think and make decisions. And, you know, and years later when the court date comes, they get evaluated by attorneys for a decision that took 4 seconds to make in the heat of the moment at 4 a.m. You know, and then you get to get that evaluated by attorneys for the next 2 years to break it down.
And again, I don't like to use the word unfair, because what is fair, but it is very frustrating when you do see that take place in a spur of the moment situation where, especially when there's been a shooting or something like that, and then you hear the pundits out there in the media say, well, why didn't they just shoot him in the hand or shoot him in the leg, or why didn't they tase them? You know, you're in a deadly force situation. Sometimes it's going to be a split second decision, and it could be very well a life or death situation.
I don't know a whole lot of people, let alone police officers, that are willing to take a battery powered weapon to a gunfight.
Yeah, that's right.
Or to use that in that moment. That's a tough call.
Absolutely.
You know, as far as officer involved shootings, you know, I don't know if there's any wood to knock on. We've been very lucky here.
Yes.
You know, we train for that moment.
Yeah.
We hope it never comes.
Right.
We're prepared for that moment. You know, but, you know, there's arteries all over the body.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
With one of the biggest, most deadly one being in your leg. So
yeah.
The comment about shooting somebody to disable them is, you know, that's a tough thing to take to a, you know, to litigation is, well, I just wanted to disable somebody
wound them.
They passed away. That would be.
I know. And that has happened. There's been situations where it has been not a mortal wound, but it ended up being a mortal wound because it hit an artery, like you said.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
right.
You've
got to control the controllables, and you're not in control of what happens.
Very well put to
somebody's body.
So. Very well put. Well, summer is officially, it's kind of.
I got a coat on.
Yeah, I know. Unofficially, summer starts Memorial Day weekend. Meteorologically, it starts in June, but that does bring out the heat. It brings out, we got the Labor Day, our Memorial Day weekend festivities coming up. How do you guys change your mindset and thinking when it comes to this time of the year, because things do get escalated. People get outside, you get the barbecues going, and get the music gets a little loud, and then the neighbor gets upset, and then people are complaining, and
it gets busy.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, all the events, lots of events about every week, it seems like, or something going on with the Memorial Day ceremony that'll be going on. You know, we'll have the officers there. There's also different projects going on, Operation Pullover and those type of things that we announce, where there are extra officers working for certain targeted traffic enforcements. That's kind of pushed through by the state for extra enforcement there. But yeah, other than that, call volume is going to go up. It's already going up just from the amount of traffic and people and we got the summer concert series that we're going to be staffing officers at. I think the Parks is doing a weekly thing this year that we're going to be at. And then we have the Hot Dog Festival at 4th of July. We're already getting planning for those.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you look at things differently today than you did maybe 20 years ago because of just the craziness of our world, threats and things like that. You guys kind of have eyes kind of everywhere. I mean, we've even talked, in planning festivals that you got to have eyes where people don't even see your eyes.
Sure, important to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, it's not for us. It's for the safety, community safety of everybody there attending. Anytime you get, a large amount of people in one area, the world's a little different now.
Oh, yeah.
We understand that. We prepare for it. Especially with the festivals,
right?
You know, what you see sometimes from us is not always what you get,
right?
Which is intentional,
yeah.
Not to be secretive or anything else, but
sure.
There's layers of planning and there's layers of things that get done from a technology side and from a personnel side, even leading up to the festival, with any intelligence gathering, any social media scrubbing we can do. We're in touch with the Fusion Center. Which has its own intelligence group that help us out just to keep an eye on things. So if there's any chatter, any online groups that are accessible to them, that they could give us any information, for what most people would consider a small town, we handle it pretty well.
Right. Yeah. Are you still on bicycles? Do you still have bicycle patrols?
We don't.
Okay.
I was wondering,
I hadn't seen those in a long time, so.
No, we don't. Could it come back at some point? It'd probably be e-bikes.
Yeah,
I think that's what we do now.
Oh yeah, and these e-scooters. Lord have mercy.
Yep.
I've seen some of these kids, these little tiny kids, I saw there's a gal that flies by our office every morning. And
the issue is some of those will go 20 miles an hour.
I know,
and that's a heck of an impact into a light pole, or if they turn the wheel too hard. So
yeah.
You know, kids are on them everywhere.
Yeah,
and, you know, they hopefully they're getting a little education and getting talked to about their safety on those.
Because don't they have to abide by this? Mm-hmm. Don't they have to stop at the stop signs? And aren't they supposed to do?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna have to, if I ever see the little gal, I'm gonna have to say, hey, honey, she flies down Washington Street, goes right through the stop signs about every morning. And I'm like, one of these days, and I pray that doesn't happen, but you know, I pray that she'll get stopped and she'll realize you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But and if you're listening, I doubt if you're listening, but if you're listening, honey, please, so at least stop. Come to the stop sign. That stop sign there, you know, right there at Washington and Maine. For some reason, that's kind of a roll through.
You name it. I mean, if you spend enough time at the stop signs,
we see it all the time.
You know, our traffic enforcement is continues to increase intentionally to make sure we have an impact on safety.
Yeah.
That's all it's for. However, if you spend time at probably every stop sign,
oh yeah, you're gonna
in
get it.
Every city, it's not a Frankfurt problem.
No, that's
this
right.
is a culture
you're
issue.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Where stop signs have become optional. Speed limits are optional, and it's only a problem till it's a problem. And we don't have, I don't know how many intersections, so I guess that would have been a good question for Brian earlier.
Yeah.
But if we had that many police officers to staff at every intersection, then we could, you know, we could be at every one of them. But yeah, we do try to get out. And when we receive complaints, we put out a project on those complaints. So if anybody's seeing anything at certain stop signs, I mean, you will, or areas that are problems, legitimate problems, let us know. And we'll be happy to report back with whoever had the complaint with the data.
Yeah, so you guys picked up the pace there at our place after a couple of times we've just said, hey, man, that it's like dangerous.
People, yeah, and we document it. Yeah. You know, the data can be there after, you know, 1 week or a 2 week kind of survey, then an enforcement effort, and whoever's there, they document what they're doing, what they saw, what they didn't see, if they did see violations. And we hold that, because some people are like, well, I called this in, you did nothing. It's like, well, actually, weren't looking at the right times, because the GPS is showing the officers there doing their things.
So. Right. Well, and I think technology, we'll kind of close with this, because technology is changing a lot of things. What are some things that, as you see technology being more certainly invasive in our privacy, but an invasive in our world. It's also been a blessing. It can be a big blessing in you guys' world to be able to, like, GPS things to people and see where they are based on cell phone or whatever the case.
Yeah, investigative methods has changed. Yeah. Obviously, you know, we would still need to, you know, go through the search warrant process and stuff, but there's more available. And it's not. It's only a problem if somebody, you know, gets caught up, and then, you know, but your phone is literally doing everything that we hear a lot of complaints about already.
Right.
It just is, you know, all the social media sites you're subscribed to, anything you look at on a website, now you're getting ads on your TV at home because you said something out loud. Tell me that's not connected, right? So it's not a law enforcement thing. This is a society issue.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere. I would say the biggest technology push that I predict we'll be seeing next is AI integration with law enforcement. Yeah. I'm really curious on how that's going to change things.
Yeah.
It's coming. We can't stop it.
Right.
We have to adapt, and it's going to change the way reports are written. Probably it's going to read body camera footage and generate everything. You know, I don't know where it's going to go. However, you know, it's scary, but it's also exciting at the same time to see what's next. Committing crimes is getting harder.
Yeah.
You know, going on the run is getting near impossible.
Right.
And, you know, the Big Brother stuff, like you mentioned, it's, you know,
it's real.
Department stores have facial recognition for their ads and for what you're buying and what you're not. You know, it's out there. And, you know, we don't tap into that.
Right.
But yeah, everything on your phone, everything on your TVs.
Yeah. We've worked with Purdue Extension and working with an app called AI Placer. It's basically an app that helps us understand where traffic is coming, retail, like, you know, where people are leaving from, and it doesn't tell us who it is. It just says so many cars left Walmart this morning at 9 o'clock. Where did they go? And where were they coming from? So it gives you an idea of the traffic flow, the traffic patterns, and where are people coming into the community? Where are they going out of the community? What workforce patterns and all those things. But it's like, wow.
Yeah. What do they buy when they get off work?
Yeah.
From certain factories, what a factory workers, you know, what do they purchase when they get off work? Because you're going to want to stock more of that.
Yeah. And that's, it's really, it can be helpful, but I'm looking at all this data and I'm like, wow. I mean, I'm one of those dots in there, you know.
You're in there. Yeah, whether you want to be or not, right?
No, you're in there. Everybody's in there. So
and so are we. Right?
Yeah, we're just part of it. We're part of the machine. Unfortunately, I know we're coming to a close. What can the people do for you? I mean, you do a lot for the folks. What do you just expect from the public, the general public? What would be your summer wish list for the public this year? To help you?
Well, obviously, if there's anything that needs to be, that we need to be notified about, let us know right away.
Yeah.
A lot of complaints we get are well after the fact, and then some people are upset because there's not a result. And it's like, we have to know at the time.
Yeah.
that this is going on to affect the situation. Other than that, we can try to be in the area and guess when it's going to happen next, or when you're going to see the speeding vehicle or the suspicious people.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, we get a lot of those that are delayed. So, you know, the immediacy of that, then I can get an on-duty vehicle there right now.
Yeah.
You know, and start looking into the problem in real time.
Yeah.
And hopefully be able to affect the situation for you. So,
absolutely.
That's one of the things, obviously, you know, educate your kids on what they're doing, what they're doing, what they're doing in public, what they should and shouldn't be doing, what they should and shouldn't be doing on their cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and just be involved.
Yeah.
Be involved in making this place safer.
Right.
You know, be part of the solution, not the problem.
Amen. Amen. Brother Brady, appreciate you. Thank you what you do. Officer Brady Sorrells here at downtown. Well, we're not downtown. We're out here on Barner Street. We're close enough. But you're doing the Lord's work. 14 years. Hey, I appreciate you. You don't look like you've aged much. I've known you since you were younger.
Just had a conversation with the chief about that this morning. He's bragging that he doesn't have any gray hair. Although we're about pretty much the same age, my argument is he did this to me.
I was gonna say, maybe
we got to blame somebody. So I keep it trimmed to keep it out. So
I understand. Hey, but some go in there. One day, just go in there and shave it, get a little dye job.
I can't. Okay. Once we've allowed a little facial hair, I've kept it ever since.
Well, brother, I'm the same way. And my wife says, no, don't shave it. I go, okay. What does that say? She says, no, I like it. I said, okay. Well, if you like it, I'll keep it. But I'm the same way. After I had it, I just kept it. So, and of course, mine's white. So that's what you have to look forward to. So, one of these days. Brother, you're doing a great job. Keep up the Lord's work.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Keep it, man. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks. All right. We're going to be out of here. I didn't realize it was already after 9:30. I appreciate you being with us, giving us a little extended time. We greatly want you to have a safe Memorial Day weekend. Please just be safe. Use common sense. Take care of yourself. But we also want you to be courageous. You know, speak up. Say something when you see something. Be engaged in what's going on in our community. Don't be a spectator. Be engaged. Be courageous and be obedient. We'll talk to you soon.